Alien Harding Ultrasound System is proudly sponsored by Innovate, the UK's best loved trail running company. And this August, it's August, everybody, 2024, we are giving away another pair of their incredible Trail Fly trail running shoes. These are the shoes that I wore for the Spine Challenger South back in June. And also, more recently, I wore them at the Lakeland 100. I didn't take the shoes off at all for either race except to change my socks. I didn't swap shoes out. Both races were 108 miles long with a load of vert. Took me over 30 hours. How many blisters did I get? None. How many injuries did I get? None. Because these are the greatest shoes ever made. They're perfect for training runs and longer races on hard ground and slippy, slidey mud. The graphene grip gives a hard-wearing traction on tough trails, stops you skidding on rocks and falling over and all that sort of stuff. And it's they're available in two fits, standard and wide. I cannot go on about these shoes enough. If you have a look at race photos, look at the lead women and men running, and you'll see that the majority of them are wearing these shoes. If you want to win a pair, then head to our Instagram page. The link to the competition is up in the link tree. Enter your details and away you go. Just to remind you, this podcast does contain some sweary language, maybe some adult themes, and possibly some very immature stuff as well. So maybe don't play in the car on the school run. We love you. On with the pod.
Hello, dear listener. Welcome to episode 67 of the Bailey Harding Hall, all the other people's ultrasound system podcast. Great to have you along. The other person has let me be in charge, but for this one. However, she sent me a whole long list of things to discuss and pretty much told me what to say. I'm going a little bit off script here, so I'm going to be in trouble. But yeah, welcome, listener. And welcome, Ali Bailey. How are you?
Finally, fucking 3 minutes in, we get an introduction. Fine. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm really enjoying my new role as number one podcast host for the final ever podcast, final ever episode, because we'll probably get cancelled after this. But yeah, how are you? So you did a little race, a little brutal little race recently.
You didn't say the B word, so that's good, you're learning. Oh, it was brutal. It actually was a bit brutal. I think I said it was brutal.
I've noticed for someone who hates that word, you use it quite a lot.
It was quite brutal. Like, what do you think the dictionary definition of brutal is?
A bit ouchy.
No, that the dictionary definition, not the looking at the Demolingo definition, the actual dictionary definition.
Good question. Like, are you going to tell me what it is? Am I just wasting my time here?
Brutal. This is good. Now, what do you think? Without looking, what do you think? You're a journalist. So I've been told.
Grueling. Testing. Unnecessarily testing.
Like me.
Oh, yeah.
Adjective, savagely violent.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, I love it.
So was Lakeland 100 savagely violent?
Savagely violent, similar. Unpleasant or harsh. Direct and without attempting to disguise unpleasantness. That is me. That should be my bio. Direct without attempting to disguise unpleasantness. Yes, but it was.
Hold on, the spectrum between unpleasant and savagely violent is huge.
Depends on your thing, doesn't it? Anyway, I think that it was unpleasant. It was nice, but it was unpleasant. I don't know why I'm bouncing between it. I've done a debrief, everyone, and that comes out tomorrow, so we're not going to talk about this for ages. But actually, I sort of underestimated how hard it was. It was quite hard, that race. Quite hard.
Well, you've got this other podcast going on about it, but what element was it? The weather, the terrain,
all of it.
Your bag was too big.
My bag wasn't too big, thank you. It was fine. It was exactly the right size. The fact my bag broke at the halfway point was a problem, but it was just hard. And it was, do you know what's funny? It's called the Lake District, but it should be called the Mountain District, because that would be a better description of what it is, because it is mountainy. And it was just really hard. But then afterwards, I think I said to you, I'd quite like to go and do an easy 100, like the Autumn 100. And you said to me, there isn't an easy 100. There's no such thing. And I think that I kind of have accidentally got into that, oh, well, because I've got a coach, it'll be easy. But it isn't easy, is it? It's not easy for anybody, ever, even if you've got a coach.
Yeah. Yeah, I think 100 miles is quite a long way, isn't it? So, yeah, it probably is never easy. What, have you done an easy 100?
No.
No.
Even the ones where I'm like, oh, that was easy. Oh no, I've never come out of 100 and gone, that was easy. But like things like the Thames Path 100, which is flat, I was like, that'll be easy. And then obviously you get to 50 miles, and you're like, oh, I'm going to fucking finish this in 16 hours. And then you start to throw up, and like you realize that you overate the pudding, and it's horrible for the last bit. I've never come off the back of 100 and gone, oh, that was easy. But this is the first one I've come off. You're going to like this, I think. And I'm actually 2 or 3 days later, quite proud of myself. Feel a bit, little bit proud of myself. But I think I did all right.
You did really well.
I think I did all right.
You did.
Yeah.
You should be proud of yourself.
And I feel very well. Nothing's broken, and I can run around a little bit. I'm not running though, Holly. I do want to go for a run real bad, but I'm not going to.
Well, that's a sign of good recovery. We're talking on Wednesday, and you finished the race on Sunday morning. That's actually, I'd say that's pretty early to have those sort of running pangs. So that's encouraging.
Robin Cassidy told me that she wanted to go running as well. Maybe we could go together. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. And what else did I do? That's it, because it's only been a week since I was last on this ridiculous thing. What have you been doing? You've done quite a lot in the last month, Damien. Why am I asking
Yeah.
you? It's your pod. You should be talking about yourself. And you're a man. Why aren't you talking about yourself?
I don't get a word in. What have I done? Well, just recently I was running with Dan Lawson on his National Three Peaks record attempt, which is ongoing as we speak. Probably by the time that, well, hopefully by the time this is out, it will be over and he will have broken the record, which is 5 days and change.
So this comes out on Saturday at midnight. Saturday, the whatever the date is, at midnight. So when do you reckon, when has he got to finish to break the record?
So he started day before yes. He started Monday morning.
Yep. So on Monday the 29th, today's Wednesday the 31st. This comes
It's
out on the 3rd of August.
approximately 5.5 days. So
So
you do the day maths.
he's on
You do
day
the
three.
maths on it.
He's on day two, three.
Saturday. So he should finish Saturday, I think.
Oh. Okay. He's over halfway.
Yeah, so I ran with Dan. I did the first bit with Dan, and I've run with Dan before. He's amazing, a real inspiration in lots of ways. Doesn't eat food, runs really fast. He was the he, him
Just to
himself.
cut in there, listener, not eating food doesn't make you an inspiration.
No, actually, he was drinking liquid calories. To be fair, he had quite a good plan for liquid calories. He was going quite fast. He was doing like 7 miles an hour. On the roads, on undulating
Hell.
roads. So my job was, well, A, generally, I don't know why, I always end up on the first legs of these things.
Yeah, you know why? Because then when he fucks it, he can blame you for going too fast.
Well, it will be my fault. My job really was to make sure, last time he trashed himself, he was going the opposite direction, but he trashed himself right at the beginning on Ben Nevis. And Dan doesn't live in a mountainous area. He's down near Brighton. So the job was to sort of leave Snowdon. You can say the Welsh name of Snowdon better than me.
Eriri. That's the
Yep.
area. And then Ywythda is the mountain.
Thank you. That was good. And not patronising by me at all. So the idea was to leave that mountain without his legs feeling trash. So I think we did a good job. He was running a lot of the uphills, but the downhills, we took them really easy. And yeah, I just did 20 miles and off he went, speeding along in the sunshine without a top on with a
He's had a
dewy.
right good but run of weather, hasn't he? He looks like he's having a really good time on social media, but we know he's not having a really good time.
But he sure can suffer. Yeah, what's amazing about Dan is yeah, it's like it's road running, that challenge. It sounds like it's mountains, but it really isn't. It's roads, busy roads. It's horrible. I'd almost say it's brutal.
It is brutal. Like, it's
Yeah, I think it is.
savage. It's like unrelenting horror. Like, cars going past, it's hot, there's not much to look at apart from road, fucking roadkill everywhere. I remember that from Run Brit. Like, when you run on roads, there's a lot of roadkill. It's horrible. Stinks. Gross.
Yeah, well, it takes a special type of person, and he's doing it, and all's going well. So yeah, go down. So that was really exciting.
Just sort of wish that you could go out and keep and do another little bit, because I sort of wish that I could go out and do a little bit, but I couldn't keep up with him for more than a mile, so it's not going to happen. Maybe on a bike I could do it.
Well, I'd hope he'd slowed a little bit by now, but maybe not. But yeah, I would like to do more. It was good. It was good. I mean, I
What
purposely
else?
chose one of the lumps. What else?
You haven't talked about losing out to Simon and his heels at the Helvellyn Sky Race. Oh, sorry, was I not meant to mention that?
I did another race, Ali. Thanks for bringing that up. But it was just a B race training day. So my good friend Charlie Sproson, who I've done all the three fell running rounds with, and known ever since the spine. My first spine, yeah, I've known him since 2014. My first spine race
Here we fucking go.
back in the
Next,
day.
he's mentioned the spine.
Back in the day, when Ali was just running marathons when she was drunk all the time.
Halcyon days when there was no watch or Strava, so you could say you'd done things you actually hadn't done.
Good times, glory days. Yeah, I met Charlie and he started a race 9 years ago. It was called the Lakes Sky Ultra. It was a, yeah, you know, when sky running was trendy.
I think it
The
still is,
sky,
isn't it?
I don't know. I think it's gone off a bit, hasn't it? It's a bit off the radar. So
What
sky
could,
running
okay,
classic.
listen, what is sky running? What's that?
Yes. So the way to understand sky running is you're up in the mountains. There's a perfectly good path, but the markers aren't on the path. They're on the rocky ridge next to the path, which looks impossible to run on. And you're either tiptoeing along or using 3 points of contact, either your hand or your bum, to go along the rocky ridge. So the idea is it's as close to running meets mountaineering as possible. So yeah, it goes along striding edge and swirl or squirrel edge.
Squirrel.
Squirrel edge, not any squirrel seen on there, unfortunately. And yeah, it's a 50K with 12,000 foot of vert, as the Americans call it. And it's great. I did the original one back in 9 years ago. Same year as, yeah, as my first UTMB, back in the mists of time. And it's changed a little bit. The name's changed, but it's still great. And yes, I wasn't the quickest male there. Thanks for reminding me.
But you were the oldest. This Robbie Williams song called I Love My Life. And sometimes when I say things like that, I just think of that song.
I love chatting to you. It's great. It's
Yeah, it's good, isn't
good for
it?
my self-esteem.
I know the thing is, you need to manage ego on men. So if any men want to manage their egos, I am available for consultations.
I can probably
Anyway,
recommend you. Yep.
you did very well. Well done.
Yeah,
Granddad.
I mean that. But it was great. It was great fun. Great fun. And good. That was sort of kickstarting my last sort of the specific phase for Tour de Géant, which is only about 5 weeks away, 5 or 6 weeks, and has some lumps.
Oh, it's so exciting, isn't it? Tour de Géant. You're there. Kirsty Reid is there. Who else is going to be there?
Jasmine Paris.
Who?
Jasmine Paris?
Who's she?
Yeah, you wouldn't have heard of her.
Who else?
Sabrina Verge,
For JJ, yep. Who else?
fellow vertebrate author. She's good. Have you read a book? It's a really good
Do you know what
book.
we should do?
Much better than yours.
Do you know what we should do? We should set up like a sign at one of the life stations. We should set up like a vertebrate signing stand. We could all
Middle of the
meet
race.
there in the middle of mid-race, and we could just
Sign each other's books.
we're gonna be there for a minute. It'd be a fun game. Get there, you get a free book. If you get there when we're there, you can have a free book. Or if you don't, if you want me to, I'll crew you and Sabrina Vijay. And I'll sign your books on your behalf.
That is so kind.
I am
Don't
kind.
bother bringing any of yours because there won't be any need for
Need,
that. But
yeah.
thank you.
No
Yeah.
problem. It's always offers always
Yeah.
open. Right, so we've got you, we've got Jasmine, we've got Kirsty Reid, we've got who else? John Kelly's going, isn't he?
John, my buddy, yeah, my tee dodging buddy, John Kelly, and Galen Reynolds, my
Yep.
Canadian buddy, and who else? Well, Francois Dane is on the start list, but he did DNF Hard Rock, so we don't know. But that's quite exciting for the race.
Is he the
How
one that
committed
you're
is
scared
he the
of?
one? I'm not scared of, yeah, all of them. No, so he's won UTMB 3 times, so it's quite exciting. Bringing that sort of caliber to the race because it does get a bit overshadowed, even though it's tougher. But I don't know if he'll start. So no, the main dude there is Franco Colli, who
What a
lives in Raleigh.
name. Ooh.
You think it's better than my name?
Fucking yeah, it is.
Oh. He's won it at least 3 times. He's a bit of a monster. It's funny though. Like you see him run on the flat, and you just think he looks like some broken old man, and then you see him go up something steep and go, oh, right. Or down something steep. And
Broken old man. I wonder if he's listening to this podcast. That's going to put the fire of Hades up him.
yeah.
You mean
Anyway.
said that you run like a broken old man? How lovely. Anyway, Helvellyn was good fun. I was there cheering on all of
Were
my
you?
friends. Yes, you saw me. You sat next to me for quite a long time. Do you remember?
Sorry, you look lonely.
Yeah, I was sitting at the bus stop and you came and picked me up. Remember?
I wouldn't. No, no.
So that was fun. And also, both of us have been doing something together, haven't we, this in the last month? What have we been doing together? We have been concocting a plan for the running show, haven't we? For the greater good.
You're saying we as if I had any input. Like, you just do it and then...
You did. You're the name.
That's enough. Yes. Yes. It's more than half exciting, isn't it?
Well, go on then. It's your podcast. You're awful at this. No wonder I have to take the lead in everything.
So, listener, it's really exciting, and you can tell from my voice that I'm really excited that the National Running Show, which I've always been really excited about.
Big fan. He's a big fan.
Has a new area. Imagine that. Imagine that, a new area.
Yeah.
It's called the Village Green.
It is.
Unfortunately, Ali Bailey will be there. But we will also have Spinksy, famous macaroon thief, Spinksy, Nicky Spinks. Some little git called Jack Scott.
Just because Jack's there doesn't mean we're looking after children the whole time. He's just going to do a talk and leave. We haven't got a crash.
Little crash area. Some little trucks for him to play with.
Yeah. Some little running shoes for him to try on.
Hold on. Yeah, there are more. Jasmine Paris, who you haven't heard of, but I'll tell you all about her sometime. She sounds promising. I think she could do some.
She's a vet. So if you want to bring any of your animals in and have some stuff wrong with them, you can. She'll look at them.
Especially hamsters and gerbils. I think they're her favourites. Bring them all in. We've got another vet, haven't we? Because we've got Emma Stewart.
Yeah.
She's more of a cow person.
She's a cow vet.
Bring your cows in.
In cows. Yeah.
Bring your cows in.
She loves cows.
Actually, don't, because cows are terrible for the environment.
Oh,
so
God, there's going to be a fight, isn't there?
Well, they wouldn't really belong in the green Village Green, would they? But yeah, we love all animals, except cows and sheep. So bring your gerbils. Who else we got? Loads.
Jasmine, Jack, Emma Stewart, Renee McGregor, Nicky Spinks, Dan Lawson, David Miller, Laura Swanson-Revellin, Sam Lasseur, Hannah Rickman, maybe Sarah Perry. And loads of other people.
But also, we've got like workshops and panels. What do you mean by panels?
My God, you're so shit at this. Okay, this is what's going to happen, listener. In the Village Green, there's going to be a small stage in the middle with some benches around it. You're going to be able to come and watch myself or Damien or both of us interview people like Jasmine very close up. You can ask some questions and you can get involved in the interview yourself. You can even touch their hair if they let you. We're going to have some panels. We're going to have like a morning of just female endurance runners and athletes and people that make a
difference.
That was my
idea, so that I could have a morning off.
That's Damien's idea, so he can have a morning off. And it's also him trying to show that he's not a sexist. He'll be wearing one of those T-shirts that says here for the women's race. But the minute he gets into Wetherspoons for his breakfast, he will take it off. What else? Oh, yeah. Workshops, free workshops. So we're going to do workshops on things like packing a bag. I'm going to show you how to fit the most amount of weight into a bag possible. I think now four are coming again because Stu did a really good workshop last year on layering and everyone loved it. And he set up an emergency shelter in the middle of the hall during peak time and it was quite funny. So might have that. Pair Ups are going to be there fixing shoes and showing you how to fix your shoes. Renovate are going to be there fixing Innovate kit and selling secondhand kits so it'll be cheaper and better for the environment. Pre-Love Sports are going to be there selling their kit. Trees Not Tees are going to be there with Trees Not Tees. And who else is going to be Into Ultra are going to be there. So we're going to talk to Basil about ways that you can get into running without spending £500,000. And there's a load of other stuff. Oh, yeah. And then the best thing is the Barclay Mountains exhibition, which is David Miller's Barclay exhibition that's exclusive. And we've got some people that have been to the Barclay Marathons. Some of them have finished it. But most of them haven't. And they've got things like bits of earth and twigs and berries, things that they took from the course that they can show us. Haven't they, Damien?
Got some feathers.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why?
You sound disappointed. I'll bring some pages.
Thank you very much.
Touch a page.
Bring
I can sometimes find them if I follow Doc Kelly. So I'll show you the pages.
Can you bring your funny watch?
Yeah. There's a couple. Yeah. Perfect. Still beeps on the hour, one of them.
Does it? My God, it's like a horrible haunting to remind you of your failures.
So are you. Right.
It's going to be well good, though. And if you want to come along to the show of Joy, you can use the code ultrasound system. And you better use it now because there's only 100 free tickets on that code. Or one word, ultrasound system. Go. And when they're gone, they're gone. Did you like that? It was quite a good ad, wasn't it? Shit, I thought it was still recording. Hey, so Damien, are you excited about coming to the Village Green?
I think you can tell I'm really, really excited about it, Ali. I am excited about it. I generally think it's going to be fun and inspiring. Yeah, stuff
it's
like
a,
that.
It's a bit of a difficult one for you, though, isn't it? Because do you not feel like it's, like with the Green Runners stuff, it's kind of the opposite of what Green Runners is about? Because it's like a big show.
Yes and no.
Why does it make you feel uncomfortable? Because I know that it does make you feel uncomfortable.
Because it's spending time with you.
Yeah.
No, I'm not that uncomfortable. I guess there is an element of sort of consumerism to the show that isn't really befitting where we need to be. But the fact that they will have us there and let us spread good ideas and help better ideas is good of them. And yeah, it's all right.
It's so hard to get excited about anything. Jesus Christ. To show a
no,
crap.
I honestly, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. I'm going to hang out with people who have kicked my butt, like Jack and Jasmine. It's going to be lovely. It's great for my esteem. You're going to be really nice to me. I just can't wait. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so if you want to come and see a grown man cry at the end of January, then please do come along to the National Running Show where both of us will be there. And we might do some live pod. Well, I might get someone to do some live podcasting. I'm just not going to have time for that shit. So that's that. That's fun. What's next? What's next on the agenda? Agenda.
Do you mean the agenda that the person who's hosting the podcast came up with, or the
agenda?
The person who isn't hosting who told the person who's hosting how to host?
Why are you hosting? What happened last time that upset you so much?
Ah, this is relevant because next up, Ali Bailey, we have the quiz.
Yes, so we decided to do a quizzes, haven't we?
So, listener, if you listened last time, you'll know there was a Barclay Marathons quiz. However, the person who was quizzed, got several answers correct that were deemed incorrect, which was quite bad of the, you know, under-researched researcher.
Host.
And host person, former host, failed author and failed host.
Shamed. Let's go for shamed host.
Repeatedly shamed. So the good thing is it's time for a bit of role reversal. And then it says time for revenge, but I'm better than that. So it would be, you know, some people in my very powerful position would, of course, pull the same trick on a person.
It wasn't a trick.
But I just want to say, listener, and whatever your name is, I'm better than that. I'm a fine, upstanding individual, and I won't stoop to those lows, probably. So are you ready? We've got to take that quiz.
Yes, because I love Take That. I've seen Take That 23 times, and I love them. I've gone off them recently because now there are only three of them. But up until what album was it? Like, I've got some notes, up until Beautiful World 2006, I was pretty massive Take That fan. The last show I went to see was the Circus Tour at Wembley Stadium. The last Take That show.
That was one of their best tours, wasn't it? Yeah.
They had a hot air balloon that came out the middle of Wembley. It came off the floor and they were in the hot air balloon and they were still singing.
Brilliant. That's a bit Spinal Tap, isn't it?
It was so good though. I thought it was amazing.
Right.
Is that one of the questions? What method of transport did they use to get out of the roof of Wembley Stadium?
23 times.
Yeah, I've seen them a lot.
Wow. Why?
I haven't got any Take That tattoos, so it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well, it's because all the lyrics are shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were such an expert in the lyrics of Gary Barlow.
Why Take That?
Well, I just love them. And I was like, what? 12 when they first started, and just love them. They're just amazing, aren't they? They've got it all. They're all singing, all dancing.
Which one was your favourite?
Mark Owen.
Little Mark. Yeah.
Funnily enough, my physio, Adrian, who I think might listen to this podcast, he used to be in a Take That tribute band, and he was Mark Owen. But he doesn't look anything like Mark Owen.
Okay. Are you ready?
You can play along at home, listener, or you can just switch this off. I think we're going to lose listeners. I don't know how long it's going to go on for.
So I'll start with some easier ones, which I expect you to get.
Okay. How many points per question? How many points are available?
I will tell you that as we go along.
Oh, God.
What year did Take That form?
1990.
You're reading something.
1990. No, I'm not. All my notes are in here. My notes are in my book. I didn't even look. 1990 in Manchester.
Okay. 1 point.
Thank
you. Congratulations.
Yes.
What was their original name?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, yes. Already. This is good.
Oh, I don't know what their... I do know what their original name was, but I can't remember. You're going to tell me and I'm going to get really angry. Let's go for Gary and the Dweebs.
Close.
What was it?
Kick It.
Oh, shit. Yeah, of course.
Which is quite similar, isn't it? Both are quite aggressive.
So I think that actually, brutal name. I think I should... Savage in its nature. I think I should get a point for that.
No, absolutely not. How many UK number one singles did they have?
17.
Nope.
Okay,
let's...
17 UK number one singles, I'm sure of it.
No, you're quite far off.
12.
Three good.
12, it's 12.
It was 12, but how did you suddenly know that?
I did my research, I wrote it down on a bit of paper.
Yeah. All right, I had to take your first answer, like that show.
It was 17 top five singles. That's why I said 17. It has 17 top five singles and 12 numbers.
That wasn't the question, though, was it, Ali?
No, it wasn't.
Attention to detail. Yeah. Okay.
You nearly gave me a point then. Why was that?
No, I'm pointing at you. It's my pointy finger.
Okay.
Different.
Right, go
on. So they're the easy ones. You got one out of three. What are the three most listened to that songs on Spotify in order? And you get... What should we give a listener?
At
least
1 point
for each. Yeah, at least 1 point.
I've got to have an order.
All right, let's say not in order, but I need the three, and you obviously...
I think it's Back for Good, Rule the World, and Patience.
Two of those are correct. Patience. Yeah. Patience is the most listened to.
Is it?
Many, many millions. Back for Good is second, and Shine is third.
Oh, Shine
is awful.
You've
got 2 points. 2 points.
Thanks.
Okay. Now let's delve into the boys' backgrounds.
The boys' backgrounds.
Which
David had to spend his part of his life putting this quiz together. You'll never get that time back.
Is this the main reason you made me do this?
Yeah.
Which band member appeared as a breakdancer on the popular television program The Hitman and Her?
It was either Howard or Jason, and I think it was Jason.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I believe wasn't their first. Bonus point. No, how do I phrase this? No,
their first UK TV performance was on The Hitman. We all know this.
All right, bonus point.
Yeah, that's what they discovered. By... So if that is going to be a question, I've already answered it.
A question about that, unfortunately.
Is one of the questions, is a sex offender?
Oh, gosh.
I hope not.
You can't... Julius, is he convicted? You can't say stuff like that unless people are convicted.
I'm convicted.
Sorry?
You said the word convicted. I didn't.
I did. Julius, you might need to take that out, please.
You just put some beeps in there, mate.
Over the name. I've done minimal legal training, but I know that's... You have to be careful with that. Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. I forgot what number question this is, but which member... Before Take That, which member worked... Oh, shit, I haven't written the answer down.
Which member? Well, you asked me, and I'll tell you what the answer is.
Yeah, well, that hasn't always happened, has it? But which member worked in a bank?
Mark Owen.
Yeah. The point. Quite good. Not bad so far. I mean, a few howlers. Which football team does Robbie Williams support?
Port Vale.
Oh, okay. That was good.
I love Take That. I'm not joking.
Well, you got a couple of easy ones wrong. Which, for a bonus point, Port Vale are one of only two football teams that don't have... that are named after a place, because there isn't a place called Port Vale. What is the other football team not named after a place? Premier League football team.
That's really interesting.
There are only two. This will get you good points in a pub quiz.
I want to say Arsenal, but then that is a place. Is it right?
It's not a place. Yeah. You get a bonus point. Look at that.
The thing is, because I used to run past Arsenal Stadium all the time, I actually think it is a place, but it's not a place because it's...
Well, also, there is a tube station as well, isn't there? But it was the 1930s manager, Herbert Chapman, who got them to change that tube station. So it's not actually a place in London.
Why are they called Arsenal?
Because they were founded at a munitions factory in Woolwich. I could tell you what different names they've had throughout the history, Ali, but I'm the last remaining listener may go. Okay, next question. We've got a few
left. That sound? It's like people sounded like you were running away.
Yeah. Which song did take that play at the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony in London?
Shine. Had to be. No!
No.
Oh, no.
Rule the World.
Was it? Oh, that is such a tune, though. Listen to that on a run.
I did, actually, this morning. It's lame. I listened to Take That for a lot of my run this morning to see if it would give me extra. This is what you've done to me.
Listen to the Take That Party album from start to finish on a run and you'll set a personal best. It's so good.
Party album.
Yeah, Take That and Party. All killer.
Okay, I know you're into lyrics.
Yep.
So which song has these lyrics?
Yep.
Oh, look, you should see her eyes, listener. You should see her eyes. She's excited about this. Everybody's waiting from high above. Feel the love. Open up your windows.
That's cool. That's from the song Windows.
Apparently not.
Well, okay. I mean, that's a Mark Owen's song. Oh God, I don't know.
I don't know how it goes exactly. I've just got literally the words written in front of me. And this is from a BBC Take That quiz that you can do at home, listener. Mm. Everybody's waiting from high above. Feel the love. Open up your windows.
I don't know.
I mean, that's the great lyrics. I'm sure you'd agree.
That's a new Take That song. That's from 2006 onwards. Not from Glory Years.
All right, I'll give you a clue. Windows. I don't know. Why would you open the windows?
Because it was hot.
Well, yeah. There's a clue there.
Is it Shine?
No, Let In the Sun.
I've never heard of that song. So that question is moribund and we have to...
Oh, because if you haven't heard the song, you haven't done your research.
Right. Okay.
Okay, two questions left.
Thank God.
Let's just. So far, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. If we include a football question, we have 8
mm-hmm.
out of 20.
No, it's not 20. Anyway, it's like 10.
About 12. Yeah. Okay. Right. Two questions left. What is your favourite Take That song?
My favourite Take That song is "Rule the World."
No, it's "Relight My Fire."
It's not. That's not.
And final question.
Right?
No, you got that wrong.
Okay.
Final question. What's my favourite Take That song?
The quiet one at the end. The last one.
What's that meant to mean?
The one that is the end of the album. The last one.
Bonus track. The secret track.
You don't like any Take That songs, do you?
There is one I sort of liked.
Okay, is it Do What You Like?
But I listened to it this morning and I didn't like it.
Right. Is it Everything Changes? That's a classic.
No. I quite liked Babe.
Give me a fucking break.
But I listened to it this morning and it wasn't how I remembered it.
Which novelty one hit wonder kept Babe off to Christmas number one?
It couldn't be Blobby area.
It was Blobby. It was Blobby. Wow. And when that happened, I was sat at my dining table with my whole family. It was Christmas Eve. And they announced that Blobby was number, that Babe was number two. And I burst into tears and refused to eat my dinner. And my dad went fucking mad. So, and I was like, Christmas. Locked myself in my bedroom. That's how much I love to Take That.
Wow. Well, I think for the Mr. Blobby thing, we'll give you a bonus point.
Thank you.
Right. So that puts you on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Out of 12.
Yeah, I think so.
Great. Well, I'll just do the maths on that. That is 95%.
Good maths. Yep.
Perfect.
Yep. But the difference in this quiz and the previous quiz is the quiz master had the correct answers. So there you go.
That was good, wasn't it? Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy what you've learned?
No.
You could have been studying for your exam, but instead you were doing that. Or you could have been training. You've traded for Tour de Gironde, but instead you're doing that.
So when I DNF that, you'll know what was to blame.
Could have been spending quality time with your children, but instead you're doing that. Yeah. Anywho, should we do some correspondence?
Yeah.
It's correspondence. in a corner. It's Correspondence Corner.
Right, go on then. What correspondence have you got?
Right, I've got three or four, haven't I?
Yeah.
So, Rob has asked, what are your favourite UK running brands, please? Innovate, obviously. I've seen a picture of Ali with a Harrier buff on, so I guess she likes them. So is this for me or you or both?
I think it's for both, but you can go first. But I was just going to say that the only reason I wear that buff is because it's a Pegasus buff. Pegasus are supported by Harrier, and I have no interest in Harrier. Sorry, Harrier. I've got no interest in you. In fact, I'm going to get a Sharpie and I'm going to just rub out Harrier.
Oh, unless they sponsor the podcast?
No.
No? Okay.
No, I'm brand loyal. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a fun question, isn't it? But it's tricky, isn't it? Because when you're sponsored, you're... Well, A, it's a couple of things. Like, if I did like something from another brand, I would say. But I'm using only Innovate Kit, or at least for the things they make. So I don't really use other brands, except for obviously watches and poles. And,
yeah, so what are your watches and poles?
I've got a Suunto watch, because they are easily the most ethical out of the big three brands. I use Leckie poles, because they give them to me for free, but they're quite good. I use a Petzl head torch, because they give them to me for free. But I was using that long before they sponsored me. That's all I can think of, really.
I think that there's better head torches than that.
Oh.
Yep.
Were you thinking that during Lakeland 100?
Yep, I was, actually.
What's
trying to think. Did I send you a voice note where I was complaining about my head torch? No, I didn't.
You definitely sent me a voice note when you're complaining, yeah. Can we narrow it down a bit more than that?
Funny.
Did the wheels come up?
Yeah, a bit. Squeaky little wheels rolling around everywhere. One of them rolled off the edge of the cliff. The other one rolled into a bog. One of them rolled down the hill. Horrible. I've never seen you actually wear anything that isn't Innovate, really, ever.
If I'm honest, when I first got into the sport, I could get some free kit from the Solomon representative. So I probably did prance around as if I was sponsored by Solomon. But it was only because I could get free kit from them. So thanks, Solomon.
Well, head torch wise, I think the Fenix head torches are better than the Petzl ones, because I've had Petzl ones. Their batteries are shit and they just don't last, and they react really badly to weather, the battery. So if it's cold, really cold, the battery just doesn't last. And if it's really hot, the battery doesn't last either. And Kirsty Reed, my special constable friend, she also has had that experience with Petzl. So I use the Fenix HMR65 V2. It's fucking heavy, though. You would hate it. It's very heavy. But it works.
Well, it's important.
And I think those Leckie poles are shit. I like Black Diamond Carbon Z poles. Because you've got to wear a silly glove with the Leckie ones. Silly glove. What's that for?
It's cool, isn't it?
Tell me what the glove's for. What do you do with the glove?
Well, actually, if you want to talk technique, it lets you let go of the pole behind you so you're not tensed all the time.
Right. But what if you lose the glove?
I mean, you just have to DNF right away. You just don't really, because it stays on your hand.
What if you're going to the toilet and you've had a poo and you need to wipe your bottom and you've got to take the glove off?
We're trying to improve this podcast.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. Okay, so that's that. Then I'm Innovate as well, obviously, but I don't currently rate the Innovate waterproofs. So waterproof-wise, I am currently wearing a Montaigne jacket. That will change in February because there is a new jacket coming. I'm excited about it.
Tell you what, change the sponsor of your podcast.
Well, listen, you just said that you're always honest and you're not as honest as I am. So literally the Montaigne jacket's better. So Innovate need to up their game on their jacket, and they are up in their game on their jacket. And there's a new one coming in February. So the Ventralight's fine if you wear, it's just heavy, and the Storm Shell's fine, except it wets out really quickly. Fact. But everything else, I freaking love. The end. Rob Ertz. Next.
Fair enough. Next. Hold on, into my emails. Miriam.
Miriam.
Who is a newbie in both trail running and ultras, would like tips on training for more mountainous terrain when you don't live in the hills of any considerable size. She says a trip to places to train is possible, but realistically not practical on a regular basis. Is there any other way to get practice from that type of terrain and skills needed for those more technical races? That's part one.
There's part two.
Yeah. Is that allowed?
Yep.
It does say thanks so much for the podcast. It's been a lot less better with Damien on it. Something along those lines.
Doesn't say that.
No, it doesn't say that. It says it's been instrumental in my trail running journey and also helped me through a difficult period in life.
I mean, you must be going through a really difficult period in life if this is helping you. It must be very difficult. Is that the part two?
No. Part two, how to find a support crew for races that require it, have the option of it. I am part of a running club, but many are road runners only, and many don't run at my pace. They're much faster. Or is she saying she's much faster? It's unclear. Is there an app for matchmaking trail runners for platonic reasons only? Hold on, this is the sort of thing you love, isn't it? Platonic matchmaking trail runners.
Yes.
You want them doing that.
Do you want to answer the first one?
You're a lot more crude than me, Ali. So why
I know. I will in a minute, but I want you to answer the one about the training because that's actually important. And do you know what? When we've been talking about training, not just me and you, me and Holly and me and everyone else, people have loved it because they're actually getting some good vibes back. And can I just say that during the Lakeland 100, I was running down some hills and I've had the misfortune of going out running with Damien, and he has shown me how to run down hills because I'm a bit shit at it. And I did listen to what he said and I did take on board what he said, and I actually utilized that helpful advice during the Lakeland 100 and it worked. So thank you. I very much appreciate it. And it worked. I didn't fall over. Yep, it worked. I didn't fall over. My quads and stuff weren't mashed up until about 80 miles, which is fair enough, really, isn't it? And yeah, the best thing was I didn't fall over and I ran down all the hills really confidently and quickly and efficiently. And so your advice on hills is good advice. So give the lady what she wants. Give Miriam what she wants.
Wow. Well, I'm just a bit stumped that you've been nice to me. Do you want to share? Do you remember what that was? Do you want to share what that? I can remember.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. Close your eyes. Roll yourself into a ball. No, it wasn't. You said, stand up straight, like be straight, up in the air, put your chest forward and don't look at the floor. Those are were the things that I remember you saying to me.
Okay. And I would also say a lot of people can pick their feet up a bit more.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. And be aware that really the thing that's holding you back is your mind, and your mind is trying to be more cautious. It's trying to protect you. It's more cautious than it needs to be, I would say. But yeah. I think I've seen your descending improve.
When Damien runs down a hill, it's like watching a 3-year-old toddler run down a hill. It's actually quite fun to watch, but also a bit distressing. A giant man toddler.
But that is kind of the point. Like if you can change your mind to enjoying downhills, because that was my big weakness when I got into the sport and I was doing UTMB and just get bounced on the downhills. But now I really look forward to them. And if you can get that mental change, which might take a year or two, and look forward to them, then you're going to, if you see it as fun, it's going to be.
How do you train for hills if you don't live in a, if you live in a flat place?
Great question, Miriam. So I think the first thing was really, really good question, as in she can get somewhere hilly sometimes. Now that's really key, because I think often the temptation is, hey, I've got a mountainous race in 3 months. I live somewhere flat. I must get to mountains as soon as possible. I actually think it's the opposite way around. That muscular stimulus you'll get from running hard downhill, which is what you're after really, it's more about the downhills than the ups, that is thought to only really last maybe 4 weeks.
Really?
The strength work really, if you don't top it up at all. So like me, yeah, for example, if you don't go to somewhere mountainous for a while, even though you've done years of it. So I still, what I'm trying to say is, if I go to Brecon Beacons and I haven't been there for a couple of months, I'll get massive DOMS still, even though I've got years of it, because it's kind of worn off. So strength. So the bigger difference is, I think we've got a question about aerobic development coming up, but aerobic development is, you know, it takes years to optimize, maybe even 8 years, and then it lasts for years. Whereas speed and strength is a lot more short term and needs to be sort of topped up regularly, and or at least topped up at that key time. So what I'm saying to Miriam is, save that trip to somewhere mountainous for about 3 or 4 weeks out from your race and get that stimulus, that downhill stimulus then. And then that should still benefit you come race day. If you could only get there once or twice and you went like straight away, yeah, there's still some benefit, but it may well have worn off by race day, if that makes sense. So plan those trips. You look like you want to say something, unfortunately.
But like, so do you think you can just train, say you were doing, I don't know, let's say you're doing Lakeland 50, right? You lived in central London. could you just train on the roads and like in the parks, or would you say go and like do some sort of like stair stepper, like hill repeats, like something like that as part of your like 18-week training plan?
Yes, there's still some merit in doing that. But I would say, first of all, book that trip. Even if it could only be one trip, make it 3 or 4 weeks out. If you can do 2 or 3, even better, obviously. And maybe you do like 5 weeks, 4 weeks, 3 weeks, approximately, even 2 weeks might be all right. Yeah, book those trips in that optimal time. But then what else could we be doing? Yeah, some uphill treadmill running or steep power hiking on a treadmill could be useful. But neither of those help our downhilling. Neither of those help condition the quads. So the other way to do that would be strength work, which is your lunges and squats primarily. Leg press. Don't know if you do any leg presses, Ali.
How much can you leg press?
How much?
You fucking bought it up. You bought it up.
What's your squat PB?
I don't do squats. They're stupid. Pete doesn't like me doing them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. We'll just leave that there.
Okay.
So I think, yes, there's three things to do there. I mean, if you have got the tiniest hill, even on road, you know, you can actually keep more of an economy, more of a sort of biomechanical, you know, the legs spinning over quicker. Do downhill repeats as well as uphill repeats if you do have local hills. But just remember, if you're 3 months out or even 6 months out, honestly, I'll be doing almost marathon training and trying to get your economy as high as possible and not worry about the specifics of the race yet.
Great advice, Dr. Damien.
Oh, and then is there an app? Have you invented an app yet?
I have a dream, right? And my dream is called, the dream is that me and Lorna and Kirsty start a business called Pimp My Pacer, okay? It's going to be fucking amazing. You go online and you're like, right, I'm doing a race and I need a crew, or I need a crew and a pacer, or I need a pacer. And you look at your budget. So say you're doing Badwater, right? A massive race. So you're going to need an RV, you need a big crew. You need people that know what they're doing. That's like one pricing bracket, or like say you're doing like a Punk Panther 100 miler, that's a different pricing bracket because that's a bit less high maintenance, right? And we will provide you with a crew and a pacer, or just a crew, depending on how much money you're willing to pay, the level of like crewing that you want, and whether or not you want a celebrity pacer. So for example, for Badwater, we could get you Susie Chan to be your crew, or like Debbie Martin Kanzani. Or we could just get you somebody that we know who's really, really good at making sandwiches. And you pay us and we send them over to you. How good would that be? Like an app where we did that?
I think that's really good. But essentially the answer to her question is no, right?
The answer is no. So that doesn't exist yet. Shit. Tom Evans is going to listen to this and fucking steal that idea. Like he steals every other fucking idea from every other podcast in the fucking country. So don't bleep that out, Julius. It's a fact. You can't sue us for it. So go in groups. So I've got a group on Facebook called Ultra Awesome. It's got 4,000 members and they're all lovely. If you want some crew or a pacer, say I'm doing this race. Has anybody done it before? Would anyone like to crew me? We can meet up and have a chat or go for a run or have a coffee, have a chat on the phone. I think there's a lot of people that really want to be involved that won't ever be able to run those long distances and they really enjoy crewing. And if someone says they want to crew you, or if you ask and they say yes, don't get all like, oh no, don't go out of your way because they've already said yes. Like they want to do it. And it's about just finding your people, isn't it? The Ultrasound System's also got a Facebook group. I was about to say on Facebook, pretty fucking obvious. Go in there, say what race it is and ask if anybody wants to help you. And then you can like meet up with them before, have a chat with them and do it that way. I think that's a really good way of doing it. I know people that basically are almost professional crew. Like they never run these hundreds or 50s or whatever, but they love the crewing element because that's the closest they're going to get to actually doing the race. So yeah, that's my advice on that. Be brave. Ask people. What do you think?
Great. What do I think?
Where'd you get your crew from?
I don't really have a crew much. friends, I guess, I tell you what, I'm very lucky because I've got my group of coached athletes and the last two times I've asked in there, someone has stepped forward to help me.
Mm.
Here's a question.
Is that it? Is that your advice?
Well, it's not useful advice because most people don't have a Discord group of athletes they coach.
No, they don't.
So this is irrelevant to most people. Here's a question, though. How do you thank your crew?
Buy them something nice.
Like what?
Bunch of flowers, their spa. They can order to the spa a number of times. Whatever they want, whatever they like, things that they're a hamper of tonics. Like, the thing is, you've got to remember, your crew have been...
Did you get anyone hamper of Biscoff?
No.
Oh,
so you said thank them.
I was going to offer the crew then, but no.
Thank them, not fucking offend them. I always take them out for dinner. So, like, with the Arc of Attrition, like, whenever we used to do the Arc of Attrition back in the day before it was fucking owned by a bunch of absolute arseholes, we'd have a whole weekend away, like four days, like a big long weekend. And then I'd take the crew out for dinner afterwards. I took Kirsty out for dinner after the Lakeland, and she wasn't crewing because you're not allowed crew, but she did pick me up at 3:30 in the morning and take me home and make sure that I didn't fall over. And so, yeah, it's just about being nice to people, isn't it? But ultimately, if people say they'll do it, it's because they want to be part of the experience. Don't treat them like assholes. Don't, like, be rude to them and stuff. But at the same time, buy a bunch of flowers or a flipping, take them out for tea. But, yeah, don't, like... Don't get all like, people get like, I'm not going to ask because it's putting a lot of stress on people, but they will say no if they don't want to do it, won't they?
Yeah, it's actually really satisfying to help people.
It is.
Yeah, and running is a great area to be able to do that, actually, because you can use, you know, you can use your own expertise as a runner to help another runner. And yeah, I've absolutely loved doing that a few times I have. Yeah,
there's nothing nicer than being part of someone's journey. Like, just to, even if you're a little part of it, even if you think you're a little part, just you going to get that donut, or just you going to get those hot chips, or just you going running into Decathlon and getting another base layer because the one they've got is soaking wet. Whatever it is, you've been a little part of their journey, and that is a magical, magical thing that you can't buy. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's special. So do what Damien does. Do the most minimal work possible at the very beginning of a world record, and then you can claim it a little bit for yourself when your friend cracks it, can't you, Damien?
That is totally the way to do it.
Yeah. Okay, what's the next question?
The next question is...
It's quite a complicated one's been sent through, something I didn't understand. What was that one?
We've got two more. One is from Ant.
From Ant and Deck?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You won't remember me, but we shared some dark moments on the A100 Talked podcasts. I imagine this is to you.
Yeah.
I thought your podcast was just the one you did with Elson. I've only recently discovered USS, and now I'm hooked.
Mm.
Firstly, thanks to you, I've now finally stopped at Regend Services.
Regend!
Is that the one you did a talk at?
Yes. It's not just the services.
It's
a cultural hub. The cultural hub. Don't you think you know what it is? It's not just got a little chef and a dog in car park. It's a cultural hub. It's got a fucking cinema and a Patagonia shop.
Yeah, what an amazing place, says Ant. My question to you and the coffee dodger.
Mm-hmm. That'll be you.
Quite like that. Thanks, Ant. New nickname. Could be worse. Is what do you think of the George Fisher tea round, and why hasn't Damo especially done it yet? Is this an admin error? Keep up the great podcast. He obviously made a mistake.
He was wondering why he'd asked you why you hadn't done it, and then I realised because of the whole tea thing.
Wow. Yeah, I feel deeply ashamed, more so than normal.
Humiliated, I think, was the word that I would use, if I were you. Why haven't you done it?
Yeah, why haven't I done it? Yeah, I need to do it. Thank you, Ant. There aren't many tea rounds. Could the other listener, if we know of any more tea rounds, let me know, because, you know, I should be doing those.
There's only one tea round, and it's that one.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll do that one.
Okay. There you go. That's the end of that question. I might do that one. It looks quite easy. Oh.
Yeah, you always say that, and then you go on about how brutal it is, even though you have the word brutal and blah, blah, blah. Right, I've got to find... There's one more in here somewhere.
Right, this one is from Emily on Instagram. Hello. At some point in the past on the pod, Damien said something along the lines of it takes 8 years to build aerobic fitness. I'd love to hear more about this. I'm a mid-30s gal who's never played sport or anything active in her life, but started Couch to 5K in November last year and have kept running ever since. I'm super slow, 8 30-minute kilometres, but the comment about 8 years was encouraging as it made me realise I shouldn't be too hard on myself to make progress super fast. P.S. Oh, God. I love cats. We'll send Damien photos of my cat if he answers this question. I don't know if that's a euphemism.
Oh, gosh. trying to raise the tone of this podcast. It's not going well. Good
what
question.
What is this 8 years to build aerobic fitness bullshit?
So this, I don't think this has been proven in the study as such, but definitely there's the idea that it takes years to build your aerobic capacity. So lots of easy aerobic training.
Okay, let's just pretend we're not all doctors. And what the fuck is aerobic capacity?
I guess we're talking your fitness below your aerobic threshold. So we're not really talking about your speed, but we're talking about your general aerobic fitness. So that is also kind of walking and cycling fitness. Anything that's encouraged, yeah, below those threshold areas. So easy exercise. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Fine.
So, but I know a sort of high-ranking UK athletics coach who told me he thinks it's 8 years. But I don't know if we've ever proven that, but he's seen athletes...
8 years of what?
Of good training, I suppose. Consistent training. I mean, in those 8 years...
And what does that look like?
Well, it wouldn't look the same for everyone, but if you've been... But basically, people talk about your running age. So, yeah. Like, I remember, you know, if I can just clunk, you know, drop this in there, when I qualified for the GB team.
You had to put forward
a sort of a running CV, and I remember putting my age, but saying, actually, I'm only 6 in running years, because really I'd only been training, because I was 40, so I was a little bit conscious they might not pick me. But I really, I was only about 6 in running years, so I still potentially had 2 years of improvement ahead of me. And that's
what do you mean I was only 6 in running years? Had you only been running for 6 years?
Yeah. So right. There was still development, aerobic development ahead of me, potentially. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
So if someone's new to running and say they're 40 or 35, or, you know, they hopefully feel not too dispirited, because they might peak in another 6, 7, 8 years if they can keep some decent, consistent training going. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So as a coach, if I came to you and I said I am a mid-30s gal who's never played sport or anything, and I've just done couch to 5K, and I want to get my aerobic fitness up, what would you recommend I do over the course of like a year that would count as being consistent but manageable?
Well, you'd start where they are now. So you don't suddenly go, right, we need to do 60 miles a week of running. We'd start where they are, like how many hours or miles are they doing this week? But we'd try and grow that in a careful, structured way and hope that they would not get injured and carry on training for years and years. You look quite bored by my answer.
I'm not bored. I'm just interested in this stuff, like, because it's just interesting. Like, because I'm like, does it mean that you have to...
Well, it's kind of what we're doing anyway.
Does it mean like with me, let's talk about me. With me, I will have like 4 or 5 events, or sometimes 20 events if no one's watching, in the calendar. And I will then train for the event, do the event, have a week off, and then I'll start working my way back up to the next event, and then do the event, have a week off, and start work, et cetera, et cetera. I don't just run for fitness. You know, I'm not just one of those people that's like, I'll just do 30. If I was, let's just run for fitness, like 30 miles a week, same stuff every week, would my fitness be this? Would I be able to maintain that aerobic fitness, or would it? Do you have to keep like going up and down with it to like keep it fit? Does that make sense?
But yes, because when you do that race, you are going up and down with it, because you're in that race, you're doing, I don't know, 100 miles that week, and then you don't run the next week. So that is up and down, isn't it?
Yeah. But like, so, I'm saying, if I didn't and I just was a normal person that just ran for fun, like 30 miles a week, would my fit over the 8 years, would my fitness increase, or would it completely plateau? Like, do you have to do these big efforts in order to increase your fitness?
The absolute truth is, that's a good question, and I don't know.
Finally, the words come out of his mouth. I don't know.
But what all we want above all else is to not get injured, so that we can just carry on being consistent. And the theory is that consistency brings progress. So, yeah, if you did just do the 30 miles a week for a year, for another year, for another year, all those miles, all those runs should just get a bit easier. Your pace should just improve a bit for the heart rate and stuff like that over time. Not just a bit, quite a lot over time. Yeah, so that's what you're aiming for. Consistency, another year, another year, another year. That will hopefully reach your potential.
My final question is, what does consistency mean to Damien Hall? When you use the word consistency, what do you mean? When you use it with your athletes, when you use it with yourself, what does it mean?
Well, it almost means the opposite of... getting out the door no matter what, because that can sometimes be the wrong approach, as in I feel really run down from work or too many stupid podcasts or you know, life stress, or I've got a niggle, but I'm going to run anyway because it says 6 miles in the plan. I've got to do that 6 miles. I actually think the person who goes, actually, I'm wiped out today, I'm not going to run today, they're probably the one who are going to get the more consistent training because they're not going to get injured. So I try with my athletes to really applaud them when they go, I didn't run today because I just didn't feel, it didn't feel quite right, or I didn't feel up to it. Now, obviously, if that person is doing that 3 times a week and always bailing on runs, there's something else going on. Bailing on runs.
That's not a term, because bailing on runs means doing all of them and sometimes extra. That is what that means. I don't bail on shit.
My idea of consistent training is to have the courage to sometimes go, actually, it seems more sensible to me not to run today. And I think that's more likely to lead to consistency. What do you think, Ellie Bailey?
I think consistency is the small efforts, lots and lots of times, instead of big heroics. All right.
Yep. Good.
That was taken once again from the school of our Lord and Saviour, Brad Stolberg. Hey, something really weird happened at the Lakeland 100 thing. Like, they brought out a priest, the vicar at the start, and they made us all do a prayer. That was weird.
Did you say amen at the end?
No, I didn't. I wanted to escape. I hated it. I was like, what's going on in here? It was very strange. Okay. That's the end of that. Do you want to add anything to the playlist? Have you got any hot new tracks to add to the playlist? I don't think you have, because I don't think you listen to anything other than Radio 4, just to get some
Babe by Take That.
Babe by Take That.
Actually.
Okay, I'm not adding Babe by Take That. I'm going to veto that. But someone else, Lindsay Lohan's been in touch with contact. And Lindsay Lohan's asked for Block Party. So I'm going to add that. Flux. Do you want me to connect? Do you like Block Party?
Yes, a lot. Which one?
Which one should I add? Flux or
Broken
Banquet?
Glass.
That's what she wants. Flux or Banquet. I think I might do Banquet.
Oh, Banquet. I like Banquet, yeah.
And she wants Skindred. That's my jab, which is a jab. So we're going to put that on as well. And what else have I got to tell you about? Oh, I'll tell you what I have got to tell you about. You can still vote in the, I was about to say the Reader's Wives, but that's not what I mean. In the Listener's Choice Award of the podcast.
I mean, you're making sure you don't get that award.
Listener's Wives. Remember that?
Yes.
Yes, you do remember. Brilliant. Okay. I'm going to call this episode Reader's Wives, because we'll get a whole new audience. So, Listener's Choice British Podcast Awards. The Village Green at the National Running Show. Listener. I came up with this idea ages ago. I did, it was me. And making it happen is literally a dream come true. It honestly is. I think it's going to be amazing. I think people are going to learn loads, and I think it's going to make a massive difference to the way that we think about how we consume our kit and how we get to races and how we behave. And that's important, because it just fucking is. So please come to the running show. Use my code, ultraawesome, one word, or the ultrasound system code. One of the two should work. It might not work after a while, though, because they've only got 100 free tickets. And if you're not sure about what to do, then go to the fucking Instagram page. And also, keep your DMs coming in. Questions for Holly. God, we've got so many questions for Holly. We're drowning in them. Things for me and Kirsty to investigate. Paul Alban, ideas for races. That's a really good one. We love that. And we're getting some good ones. Damien, I don't know, maybe complaints or cease and desist or anything that will stop him coming back.
haircut tips would be nice.
I've got a tip for your haircut. Cut it all off. And that's it. Have you got anything to add? Are you okay? Are you crying?
Yeah, you make me cry a lot. I have got a question. I've got an idea for Paul. I'll flesh it out next time, maybe, but like sort of he races.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, to go alongside she races. I think, you know, things have gone a bit too woke.
Yeah, cool. So what, you're going to start the he races movement to support men because they don't get enough support?
I think so. I'm going to flesh it out. I'll tell you more next time, but I think it's about time we leveled things up, made things a bit more equal.
Okay, made it a bit easier for men.
Well, not just men, especially middle-class, middle-aged white men.
Okay.
They probably had the toughest.
They do have a tough time, don't they?
They probably have the toughest time. So
one of them's having a tough time right now, isn't he? In his funny little green chair in his little fucking shoffice.
Is there a word for crying and laughing at the same time?
It's a word for crying and wanking at the same time. Cranking. Just in case you needed that.
I'm just not commenting on any of that.
I'm going to go and do some...
One of us is trying to keep this podcast to a, you know... Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh.
It's right. Me. Thanks, Damien, for your time and effort. We're going to be talking
again. That didn't sound genuine.
No, it's not. We're going to be talking again. The end of August. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. At the end of August.
Wait, is that a contractual obligation?
Yes. Just before you go off to Tour de Gion. So we're going to hear all about He Races, your new exciting man project. You know what you should do if once you launch it? Go on Tom Evans's podcast.
Probably a lot better than this one.
Yeah. Somebody, actually one of the listeners, Sean Danny Dye, has been listening to it and giving me some information on it. Apparently they... One of them were they said that when they were talking about bag weight, and they actually said, "Yeah, just get a pair of your mom's like Fortigenia tights and chop the bottoms off them, and that's fine. You save 64 grams." But that was an actual bit of advice they gave.
I would actually like to be on his podcast. It sounds like more my type of thing.
Well, maybe he could be an ambassador for He Races. Okay, I love you. I'll speak to you one some point. Maybe hopefully never again. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System sponsored by Innovate. We would absolutely love it if you could just take 1 minute to visit the BritishPodcastAwards.com and vote for us in the Listener's Choice Award, because you're the listeners and we know that this is the choice that you want to make. It's the only choice. It's the best choice. Why not make it? Follow us on Instagram. It's Ultrasound System Pod. And on Facebook, we have a social group as well, so you can meet up with people in real life. We love you. We love everything about you. Keep your informations, your remembrances, your correspondences all coming in on the usual places. You can DM us, you can voice note us, you can do whatever you want. Email us if you want to. Send us a letter, why not? We love you. Please go and vote for us in the British Podcast Awards. Please, I'm begging you. Please. Thank you. Bye-bye.